This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wang Xiaoning. It is Tuesday, the 23rd of July. And is it just me or have you guys already started counting down towards the weekend? I feel tired and it's only the second day of the week.
I think it's the gloomy Tuesday because it kind of rained in the middle of the night. So
yeah.
Once it rains, you know, you just want to crawl back into bed and then the sky is still dark. So you get this sense that, oh, can't
it's
the week pass
fast? Practically
rained
the whole day yesterday.
Did it?
Yeah, in the evening as well, and then at night.
Oh, maybe in your side of town, Julian. Yeah. My side of town was completely dry.
And we have no water.
And we have no water, yes.
Yeah, that's been an interesting sort of almost
paradox.
Because it's quite patchy. Like even here in the office, like our office sink doesn't have water, but the toilets have water. So the toilet sinks have water.
That works well.
Yeah, it does.
We need water in some places.
Let's hope it's restored back quickly.
Yes,
because it's a major inconvenience to a lot of people.
And at least on our part, we've got a growing pile of mugs in the kitchen sink waiting to be washed. But in the meantime, we've got lots of fascinating things that we're going to be talking about today instead of washing our dishes. So what are we going to be talking about?
I'll be talking about interns. Every office seems to have one nowadays. Now, the question is, should we pay them or is their reward just having the opportunity of learning a skill? So let's discuss this a little bit more later.
Yep, and also asset declaration. This is one of those items on our path to institutional reform. So one of the many paths that are taken. It first affected the ministers and then MPs, and now it's being extended to senators who have to declare their assets.
Excellent stuff. Now, don't forget, if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we're going to be talking about the thing that you and I are both probably already going through or going to undergo soon, because it is the mid-year and it's performance review time. So be sure to stay tuned for that conversation. In the meantime, here is Riders on the Storm by The Doors, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Julian and Sean. Now, we're heading into the mid-year. It's the 23rd of July. And for a lot of us, that means it's mid-year review time. So, Quartz.com has done an article about this and it's highlighted an interesting sort of element to this. It's highlighted that a lot of performance reviews are geared more towards individual performances and therefore are supportive towards a certain type of people they call brilliant jerks. So, that's Quartz, not my different term.
Every office has one.
Every office, yes, apparently. Every office has one or two. And these are people who perhaps do very good work, but they're not very nice and they maybe don't foster a very welcoming work culture. But there's this Australian company called Atlassian that has introduced a new framework that's basically geared towards gauging an employee's contribution towards their team. So it looks at things like demonstration of values, deliveries on role expectations, and contributions towards the team, i.e. focusing explicitly on how the employee interacts with and treats others. So essentially, it is geared towards rewarding things like mentoring programs or even just helping out your colleagues. And I'm curious as to your experiences of performance reviews and whether you felt that those performance reviews that you underwent in other companies maybe could have benefited a little bit more from this shift towards a slightly more team focus.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be able to come up with a perfect performance review. I think they're always a smidgen of what you really want to achieve. But to me, every time I think about this, I think about a football team, right? In a football team, everyone gets reviewed very visibly because at the end of the day, you know the scores and you have stars. You even have brilliant jerks in football teams, which are retained. The divas, who are retained, the managers are retained, and managers are able to have a bird's eye view of the team performance. And, the star player does not want to be the manager or the boss. They just want to do their work. So, but this is harder from the perspective of a company because you have so many employees. I guess you can say that if you have a successful product, then that's all there is to it, right? But
But is it an ends justifies the means sort of situation then, Julian? Because you can have a fantastic product and have a terrible working culture at the same time.
Yeah, yes, where there's a revolving door of people, right? People come and go and they resign so fast.
Yeah, and we spoke about this recently with the zebra versus the unicorns as well, where the zebras try to come up with something better, which is a community-based company. I guess they work hand in hand. You know, at some point, if you don't have enough teamwork, the product would be affected.
I mean, I've worked in a lot of companies, and my companies tend to be all finance-based, right? So it's easier in the sense that the results are empirical. You can see the performance of something. But at the end of the day, I always think that performance reviews are slightly unfair because some people just don't sell themselves very well. You know, because it's one of those 180 degrees thing where you review yourself and then your boss reviews you, right? So you put this score chart. I don't know, would you give yourself 5, 5, 5 all the time out of 5? I can't do that. I find it very weird. And then
you need to justify it though.
Some people are really good at giving themselves high scores and then writing a very wonderful job, you know, description of what they did.
Hence why performance reviews are biased towards brilliant jerks.
Yes, because you really need to be good at glorifying what you've done.
Or it also places sort of weight on politics, office politics as well.
Yes.
So the introverts win over the... Sorry, the extroverts win over the introverts because they can go be pally with people so that they get voted.
And they're good at selling themselves also. Right? And they're kind of very good at selling their skills, what they've done. They remind people of all the wonderful things they've done throughout the year. Whereas the introverts tend to be quiet. They don't really sell themselves. They maybe, you know, it wasn't that difficult. You know, it's everybody's effort, that kind of personality.
Yeah.
Perhaps doesn't do so well in the performance review, but is actually a great contributor to the team.
So the thing that BFM does here, and obviously this is also not a perfect system because we undergo several rounds of changes and suggestions. You know, how can our performance review system be improved all the time? We have a peer review system. So within teams, everyone reviews each other. So say there are 8 members of the team. So everyone will have to evaluate each other, including your team lead. And you also have to get evaluations from at least 2 people from outside your team that you've worked with. So I think that was initially to encourage cross-team cooperation so that you don't necessarily work in silos, because that is something that particularly I think here in BFM, when we work at very different hours, we can find ourselves working very much to the exclusion of other people. So I think that I thought that that was not a bad system to implement. Obviously, it's also difficult here in a media company because we don't have that empirical data that can drive a performance review. So it's essentially entirely qualitative on our front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think many firms adopt that 360 review being voted in by other team members or voted out, as the case may be. So I'm just really curious about how Atlassian does it. What is the difference of what they do compared with other companies that they're able to sift out these brilliant jerks? I'm really curious.
Well, do let us know what you think about this. How do we sift out these brilliant jerks, as Julian would put it? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got a couple of messages coming up for you, and then we'll be taking a look at whether or not we should pay interns. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Chemistry by Arcade Fire, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shanning. Now, earlier we were talking about performance reviews because those can affect your bonuses, perhaps even your salary bumps. But that's maybe not a problem if you're an intern, because a lot of interns, unfortunately, just don't get paid. And Youth and Sports Minister Syed Saddiq Syed Abdul Rahman, he is now on a mission to get interns paid. He's urged the public and MPs not to cave into corporate desires. And this is, of course, hot on the heels of Undi 18, which will give 18-year-olds the right to vote. So it's encouraging for me to see that perhaps now that 18-year-olds have entered the domain of the actual voting public, maybe youth issues will be coming more to the fore in terms of the national discussion.
Who are these companies, by the way, who don't pay their interns?
Quite a lot of them, including international organisations, by the way.
Right.
Apparently, medical students don't get paid, you know, if you want to intern.
Mm-hmm. I guess the reason behind that is that they feel that they are giving something to the interns, and in return, the interns give back free labour or... some might call it slavery. Right. Exchange knowledge or apprenticeship with slavery.
Yeah, it's that is always the argument, that right, that when you hire an intern, you're actually spending, you are spending time and resources to train them, maybe to introduce them to working life. But I always felt that was quite unfair, because you are expecting the intern to essentially bear all the costs of traveling to your office, of feeding themselves, and of maybe supporting themselves in addition to that. Say, for example, if they are interning in KL and their family is in Ipoh or somewhere, so they have to pay rent on top of all of the costs of working at your organization, and they don't get paid. I never felt that was a fair option at all, because you are still getting free labor out of this.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, you should always pay somebody for labor done, right? It's just a question, I guess, how much? What is the right balance? Mm. Because it ranges so much. Apparently, interns in F&B, they get 300 a month, 300 ringgit a month. Media companies, 500 ringgit a month. Larger MNCs and tech companies, you could even get 700 ringgit a month. So it really depends on what kind of company you work for. For me, pay them something, because they, you know, they do have expenses coming to work in the first place. They have to eat, right? And they should be given something at the end of the day for what is essentially sometimes can be a hard day's work.
Does it mean anything though? But if you get 300 ringgit a month, that results in an average of 10 ringgit a day, which is really nothing. It's
no, 10 barely, ringgit is a bit low, I have to say.
I mean,
yeah. So, but that's the ranges so at the moment.
It's really a question of what the company wants to get out of this from the internship program. I think they should, it's a matter of structuring it correctly, instead of just blindly saying, oh, I want some interns and let's make them do some photocopying, right?
No, I mean,
that's the wrong structure.
That's the wrong structure. I mean, just like us, we have job descriptions, right?
Yeah.
There should be some general job descriptions for interns for every department within an organization. What are your requirements? Let's say on the morning run, right? What do our interns do? How useful are they? How do they help with creating the stories and helping us get on air every day? We need to define it for them. Otherwise, also, there's no purpose for them. And they don't learn anything. The best thing about internship to me is not so much you know what you want to do, but sometimes you know what you don't want to do when you finish. Right. Mm-hmm. I really don't like this career.
Yeah, it's a process of elimination sometimes, right?
And it's exposure. But at the same time, pay them. So, and the intern also, how much he gets out of it is how much he puts into it. He needs to have some objectives also when he's here. Some of them, I think they look a bit clueless. Sorry, interns out there. I've had interns over the years. Some are clueless. I think they were, no joke, some of them are there because their parents forced them.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask them what they're doing here, oh, my dad arranged it. I'm like, your dad arranged it? Do you know why you're doing here? No. Please, no. That's not an intern.
Yeah, you see, that surfaces a problem. So is that something to do with the breakdown of how companies hire, not only interns, but everybody, right? So
yes.
if you get someone hired that's not supposed to be there, there is some kind of breakdown somewhere.
Right? I think it's also to do with how we treat our young people and our graduates, and how the kind of quality of graduates you do get sometimes. Because I have not just heard stories, I've seen some of my peers and my classmates go into interviews and be like, oh no, I don't know why I want this internship. No, I don't feel like that's the right approach. If you don't know what you want to do, say so, because you know that's what the internship is for. It's for you to see whether you would be interested in that industry. But at the end of the day, you know, I always feel like interning is a luxury for a lot of people, because if you can't afford to support yourself while you are interning, then you just can't afford to intern at places that don't pay you. So in the end, what you do is you either go for a job as a waitress, for example, or you go for some other, you know, F&B retail. And at the end of the day, those may not necessarily help you get a job either, because a lot of jobs with their entry requirements do call for a year or two's experience in a related industry. And so, you know, it's just a bad situation all around. I do feel like you need to pay interns at least enough for them to be able to get to your office.
Cover the costs.
Yeah, cover the costs for them.
And hopefully have a little treat at the end of the day.
Hopefully. Well, let us know what you think about this. Should interns get paid? And if so, how much? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're coming up on the 6:30 news. And to take you there is New Radicals with You Get What You Give. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Shakedown Street by Unknown Mortal Orchestra. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. Now, the Dewan Negara has approved a motion compelling senators to declare their assets. This is closely following a similar move by the Dewan Rakyat. So now all ministers, MPs and senators have to make their assets open to the public. And I think this is a fantastic move. I am all for asset declarations. My next question then would be, who's next, you know, on this list? You know, can we maybe extend this to people in top positions within
civil,
you know,
servants.
Civil servants within government entities, yep, because they are also directly in the line of fire, I guess, you know, at risk of being tempted by corruption. Heads of GLCs,
yes,
perhaps?
Heads of, yeah, GLCs, please. Because, you know,
they would be very rich, though.
They would, but, yeah, if it comes from salary, then, mm-hmm, so be it. If it's bonuses, fine. But other sources of income? Other sources of wealth? Because they do make decisions, right? And they make big money decisions.
Yeah, I think definitely you've got to extend it to civil servants, maybe the higher ranking ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know, we talk a lot about ministers and MPs and senators all leading, you know, driving change and making policy decisions. But at the end of the day, it is the civil servants who actually push those policy decisions through, you know, take those,
exactly,
ideas and turn them into concrete action. And they're the ones who are going to be conducting tenders, you know, awarding contracts. So they would be one of the first people that I would look to say, hey, you know, are we sure that everything you're doing is above board? You know, not that I'm a particularly suspicious person, but when you are, you know, dealing with so much public money, there has to be a much higher level of scrutiny than you would get in just a private company on the street.
And that's important, right? The high level of scrutiny is very important because there is this confusion about who this is declared to and whether it's made public. I hope that everything is publicized so that it opens up to examination, analysis and scrutiny, mm-hmm, and that's needed.
But I just wanted to hone, Julian, because I mean, on some level, these individuals, especially maybe, okay, if you're should there be a higher standard for, let's say, ministers? So ministers, yes, it's public, but what if you're a government servant? Should that be made public or should that just be made to, let's say, the government department or some special committee?
Is it fair for them to have all their assets known
to the public?
Mm-hmm. I don't see why not. What would you say is the difference between
I would say, okay, if you're a minister, you're elected. I don't know, there's a certain higher standard expected of them. That's my own little thing in my head, which, mm-hmm, thinks, okay,
which is not wrong.
Yeah, you're elected. I chose to be to be an MP. I am willing to declare. But in a way, a government servant, is that higher standard that you require where it has to be public? I think making it known is fine, but to whom? Should it be kept in a special registrar rather than it being like public?
But see, that's a problem sometimes that other countries have seen. Like Thailand has seen a similar problem and that they had to undergo iterations of this asset declaration system because they found that the declarations were going through one particular office parked under the Prime Minister's department. And that office was led by a top official who was himself liable to corruption. So I guess that is the difficulty that we face with asset declarations in general. And that's why I'm in favor of them going to the public. When you talk about civil servants, yes, I see your point because these are not people who necessarily volunteered to be in the public eye. But at the same time, I do think that a high level of scrutiny is needed. Perhaps not quite as high as MPs who are definitely...
No, the scrutiny to me is the same,
yeah,
but the information post the scrutiny, where does it go? Because if you're an MP, maybe it's out there. Like, you know, we saw, like, who are the richest MPs, mm-hmm, who has assets, right down to the houses they own, right? But, and this was published, right? We could see it. But do you need that from government servants?
I'm
not sure.
I think the reason, one reason for to need that is to actually have the required deterrence. Because if you just whisper it into somebody's ears, it might not deter you from accumulating asset. And then someone will get to play the role of a kingmaker to say that, you know, I know that you've accumulated such asset. Give some to me and I won't report you, right?
Yeah, there is the danger of that, of course, which means that the committee or whoever they report to has to really be
correct,
a standalone kind of committee, independent, have some powers also, maybe have some powers to enforce.
The select committees, right? The parliamentary select committees would have their eyes on such a private report, perhaps, if you don't want to publicise it. But I would say don't underestimate the abilities of the NGOs to analyse such data. And we need actually more of that to happen.
Yeah, we definitely do need multiple levels of scrutiny, right? And this is why we have checks and balances. It's not just the outright checks and balances. It is transparency and accountability and the ability of NGOs and the public to look at the behaviours of the governments and organisations under the government to say, hey, you know, this doesn't sound quite right. And then as the public, we should have that ability to request that information. So that's another element of it, freedom of information that we don't necessarily, that we may not necessarily have here in Malaysia. But do let us know what you think about this. Should asset declarations reach right down into the ranks of the civil servants? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're coming up on a couple of messages and then more fascinating discussions. So don't be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was If You Want My Love by Cheap Trick, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shawning. Thank you very much for your messages this morning. We've had a couple of tweets and WhatsApps. We've been talking about performance reviews, we've been talking about whether interns should be paid, as well as whether asset declarations will improve your trust in the system. So what have we received so far?
Well, we have this WhatsApp who thinks that the simple answer to as to whether interns should be paid is a yes, but how much is a more difficult question to answer. Mm-hmm. And the ideal salary would be one that's fair. So if the company is purely receiving labor without the need to pay, it seems that it's treading a fine line close to slavery.
Is it a problem here is that the corporations are giving them something in return? I mean, those that do, not those that hire interns just for photocopying, right? Those that do are giving the interns something in return, and how do you price that?
That's
the problem, right?
Yeah, and this guy also brought up a valid point that if you treat your interns right, you're actually cultivating good talent for the future. So that the person, hey, when he finishes, he might come back and work for you, which is, and you've identified someone that's really good.
Yeah, quite a lot of companies do hire out of their intern pools, right? I know BFM is certainly one of them.
Quite a lot of people are ex-interns, including our very own Lin Mark.
Yes, I was an intern once a long time ago. Hiswani Hassan has also weighed in on this, and he said that, you know, don't forget that for interns coming into the Klang Valley, from out of the Klang Valley, there will be the cost of a accommodation that needs to be paid for. Not all who need internships are living with their parents within the Klang Valley. Most good intern opportunities are, however, here. And it's true, because this is the business. This is the business district of essentially Malaysia. So, you know, when you've got interns coming in from different states, they need to put themselves up somewhere. They need to pay rent, so they'll be paying at least, you know, two, three hundred ringgit a month, maybe on rental of a room somewhere. Yeah. So that you have to be able. You have to allow them to cover that cost.
That's right. Unfortunately, the highest state with employment is also the area with the highest cost of living. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Hiswani also said that he believes civil servants do have to declare their assets on a regular basis. He remembers that he had to do it when he worked for a statutory body that followed what was set by JPA. So, well done, Hiswani, for declaring your assets.
Yeah, so I guess the question then would be, who do they declare to? How transparent is that system? Should it be more transparent? Should it come to the public? I can feel like that would be the next step of the conversation, since we are seeing this happening with MPs and senators. But there is also the privacy element to be considered, because civil servants definitely didn't volunteer to have their privacy infringed upon in the same way as maybe MPs and senators did, because they didn't run for office. But at the same time, they are representing, putting forward the needs of the public. So it's very much a complicated discussion on that front. But thank you very much for your messages this morning. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.